Be a pinball wizard right in your own home! Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sam.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Joe.
And I'm Joe.
I just love that. You're just
Joe,
so
live
like,
from Venezuela.
Yeah, Joe from Venezuela. Joe, how's the weather down there?
Oh, it's great. That's what I say for every time you ask me the weather anywhere. It's great.
Fantastic. Do you know where you are this time?
Venezuela, I guess.
Okay, great. No, yeah. I just didn't know if you even heard us that time. So that's fantastic. Let's get right into it, guys. We're talking about pinball. Pinball has been around long before this NES game. And
really?
Actually, pinball is like, I want to say like even the 50s is like the mainstream pinball, like becoming like a huge thing, which is cool because
I want you to know that I hope you knew I was joking.
Yes, No. I'm just saying, like, pinball kind of is older than video games,
and
that's kind
of
neat.
Pinball is older than the video game of pinball.
Yeah, it's like neat that Nintendo didn't invent the concept of pinball
That'd be impressive.
That's important to note.
They ported it from the game to real life.
But this is completely made by Nintendo, this version of pinball, and Satoru Iwata did program this game as well. And Nintendo kind of loves this game. They show this a lot. It's appeared in a lot of different, games of theirs throughout, since its release. So I think this is something that they're pretty proud of. And for good reason, I'll bring up, this game might not look spectacular or feel spectacular anymore, but you have to remember, and I just want everybody in the podcast to kind of have this mindset, Space Cadet wasn't around when this game launched. So that Windows XP classic that everybody has played, that changed probably the way people think of pinball, that wasn't here yet. So this was kind of like your only way to play like electronic pinball in a way that worked. Otherwise, you'd be submitting quarter after quarter through continues at the arcade to keep playing pinball. So let's get some first impressions, Sean.
I actually really appreciated pinball. I started in real quick. Like there are two different modes. One is just slower for I guess people to get used to the game. So even when I was playing the slowed down version, I was really impressed by the physics simulation of this game, and I really didn't think that it could do this. I didn't really play pinball growing up. Pinball, the NES game. But I think that the board is designed really well. It's a memorable board. I like that it's two different sections. Mm-hmm. When you go from one to the other, it feels like nothing has changed. It still feels like the same physical space. I was really impressed with pinball.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't thinking about how this is an old NES game when I was playing. I was just thinking, yeah, this is pinball. I'm playing pinball. I'm having fun. It reminded me a lot of the first Pokemon pinball that had the little the little rumble pack built into the game where it also gets split up into two screens.
I completely forgot about that game.
Yeah. Where it goes off the top of the first screen, goes onto the second screen, and like you said, it feels natural. And one thing I really liked was that they had the other flippers on the top screen, so that it felt like it was its own little mini pinball game up mm-hmm. there, too.
Yeah, kind of like your first chance, your first line of defense before you had to, like, really defend yourself to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know, I've never, like, you see the little flippers on some pinball games like that, the higher ones, but this one, I just really like the layout of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, I think so. When we played 10-yard fight and we played baseball, I think we all kind of said like, "Yeah, this is baseball," or "Yeah, this is football." But for pinball, I think it's like the most accurate. Like, this is just pinball. Like, I think of all the games we played, this feels the most like what it's trying to simulate mm-hmm. than any of the other games. Like the physics, like Sean was saying, the physics don't feel like a video game version of pinball. They just feel like pinball.
Right. So my initial impression is, it just works, to capitalize on Sean's point here, game A and game B, the difference is in game B, they actually made the physics even more realistic, if you will, by making the ball actually have some weight to it. So that's kind of the difference. It's like ball in game A, your ball is kind of floaty and gives you the opportunity to make more saves and keep it up longer. That's probably why you're scoring a lot higher in game A, because when you hit the bumpers, they just keep knocking back into each other a lot. In game B, because of the weight, it continuously kind of goes down. I'm hitting a niche here for a minute, because you guys are all like, pinball, you know what pinball is, but you guys wouldn't consider yourself huge pinball fans of like the physical cabinets and stuff like that.
I would say that I'm not your level of pinball fan, but I seek out pinball.
Okay, but here's what I meant is like I knew of like, and I'll even just list games that came out before this, like Black Hole, you know, like those games are much more intricate, and yes, they're physical, right? Like, there's only so much limitations to a digital thing, but there's so much more elaborate than people think of pinball cabinets. Like, so many people think the objective of any pinball game is just to hit targets as much as you can to score points. There are stories in these pinball games. There's complicated actions to perform, and like, obviously it came a lot later, but like Tales of the Arabian Nights is like a game that I have actually successfully beat, you know, like as a pinball cabinet. And I just think that's so cool. It's such a
That's an actual pinball, physical pinball cabinet.
Yes. It's a physical pinball cabinet, but like, it just, I'm just saying like when you know what pinball actually has to offer, game does kind of feel like scaled back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no box from Theater of Magic and all of that
stuff. Right. Yeah. Okay. Another great example. Yeah. Theater of Magic.
There are like little things like you can get that. I don't know if they were trying to go for like a flush or a straight with that card.
It's a straight flush.
Is it a straight flush?
Yep. So yeah.
Okay. You could do that. You could.
Do you know what happens when you get the straight flush?
I never got that.
If you get the straight flush, Joe, do you know what happens?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Straight flush, that gives you the stopper in between the
that's the chicks.
That's the chicks. Mm-hmm. The straight flush gives you the change of color on your cabinet. The colors will change on your cabinet to yellow.
Yeah. But I thought that. So maybe I'm wrong here. I thought the chicks gave you the stoppers on the sides. But the straight flush changed it to yellow and put a little ball in between the flippers. So you actually can't.
Yes. Sorry. I thought you were talking about the stoppers on the side. Yes, it does give you.
So yeah, there are these little objectives that are kind of, I mean, that you can aim to get, but they don't have the same unity of theme that a lot of really great pinball cabinets have.
Right. But I will say that's, you know, that is outsider knowledge. You know, and if you're just a kid getting pinball and you don't have to empty out your quarters anymore, you have the ability to play it this way. I think this is a revelation.
Oh, yeah.
For its time.
Right.
But
also kind of to speak to the opposite of what digital, the limitations of digital, having this game allows you to play that little Mario side game, which seems like something that would never be able to happen in a physical game. You know, take you to like another little section of the.
Yeah, it's almost like it becomes Breakout.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
I thought that was a great. I mean, and it is kind of hard to get to that secret entrance. But I thought that it was a welcome addition, and it's just as, I mean, maybe not fun or at least as intricate as the rest of it. But I think you can have just as good a time like in that bonus stage. You do get a lot of time over there.
Yeah, I'd love for you to keep going, Sean. I just want to really clear it up. It's kind of like when you have to get to like a secret zone on the lower part of the cabinet. You get to put your ball into a hole essentially and go down to like a lower cabinet, which is something that happens in like a game like Black Hole. There's like another cabinet built into the pinball machine, and on there it's actually Mario. And like in the manual, I don't know, Sam Emanuel Smith, did you read the manual for this one?
I skimmed it because I figured it's kind of
pinball.
They
do reference him as Mario, so that is kind of cool. But they do not call the girl up top Pauline.
Oh wait, oh yeah,
Pauline from Donkey Kong. They don't call her that. They call her Lady. Like from Lady and the Tramp. Accurate. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's like, okay, I guess it's still Pauline. It looks close enough, but that's kind of like what you do in there. And then it's like we were talking about, it's kind of like Breakout, where it's still a pinball. It's your pinball that went down there, but you move Mario now instead of Flippers. So, Sean, what were your impressions on the bonus game?
I don't really know what the numbers were, unless that was just. Like a combination of them was the amount of points that you scored, but for getting the ball through it, it was just like a matrix of numbers. And I was just trying to keep the ball up as long as I could. I wasn't really aiming for anything because it didn't, like, when you hit the floor that Pauline is standing on, it doesn't seem to break as you would expect it to break out. So I was just, you know, having a good time hitting stuff.
But eventually it does break, but I don't think it has to do with you hitting it. Because eventually she falls onto your platform.
With the colors.
It has to do with the colors of the numbers. Right. They have to line up kind of like, think like a bingo.
Yeah.
They have to line up like that. It's really hard to do. And then basically when they line up those colors, whichever platform Lady is standing on gets a little smaller and a little smaller.
Right.
Personally, I got close enough to have her fall. The ball also was just going crazy, and unfortunately, the ball went out before I was able to send her.
I guess I'm better at pinball than you, Mike.
The only time
I got her one time, and yeah, she just reappears at the top, and you just keep going. I thought something would happen, but now you just keep going.
Yeah, the only time I made it to the bonus round, my ball just kind of immediately started going like more side to side than up and down. And that's just, it was just a disaster. It was just rolling a lot. I was trying to roll it from one platform to the next one and it just rolled right off.
Yep, and so that's the bonus game. We mentioned the straight flush. There's also like a slots machine that you can get by going up the top left ramp. And that kind of what I like about this slot machine, though, is that it's not random. Your ball has to hit the icons for them to like lock into place. So you have an option of threes, sevens, or penguins.
Yes.
Anybody want to explain why penguins?
I couldn't even if I tried.
I just thought maybe, it's just part of the Nintendo aesthetic.
Yeah, I do penguins. Have a quick question for anyone who can answer here. There was once you fall down to the lower level, there's another one of those like try to hit them all sort of triggers.
The numbers?
The numbers on the side.
Yeah, I was wondering about those too.
If you hit all of them, an exit appears.
Yes.
What happens if you hit that?
Nothing. So, you just go back into the beginning and launch your ball again.
Yeah, and isn't that disappointing?
So I thought I was getting a reward or something. I tried really hard to get into that, and nothing happened.
And it's on a timer, too. Like, it doesn't stay open indefinitely.
So you would think that it would be something cool.
It's kind of like a easy way to get back up to the top. Because if we're being real, it's kind of hard to get back up there, I felt.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's even harder to get all that to happen.
Yeah, though. It might be harder to get through that hole, okay, and then one other thing other than this. I mean, like, you know, that's already a lot. Like, you got the slots, the cards, the bonus game. There were also those seals that would hit the ball, and every time would give you like a certain amount of points each time. I just thought that was like a nice little cool thing as well. Yeah. And the seals might change colors with the board. If the board changes colors, I don't remember now.
I think if you go through that little loop near the top, they'll light up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I know about it, though.
So I'll reveal something that I was able to do, because you know me, I like pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know what happens when you get 100,000 points?
No,
I do not.
When you get 100,000 points, your flippers become invisible.
That's really mean.
Wait, your flippers become invisible?
Invisible, but
okay, yeah, that happened
they
to
still
me.
Work.
I didn't know what was. I didn't know it was why it happened. I was going to ask if that happened.
Oh, just sort of humble bragging that it got to 100,000 points.
Yeah, that happened to me like 10 times. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Joe, 10 times. Wow, that means you almost got to a million points, which is scary because at 1,334,900 points, the game ends.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that happened to me. No, but it did happen to me where my flippers disappeared one time. I don't know if what Mike's talking about is real.
That is real. That is okay. real. The point limit, I think that was like the, and that's kind of a weird number, right?
Like usually the it lands overflow or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, usually it lands on like a programmed overflow number, but 1,334,900 must stand for something. but yes, to Joe's point there, the flippers don't, like, I think it's actually kind of cool. Like, it's an additional challenge. Like, you made it all the way to 100,000 and they do reappear at 150,000. So that's anybody's guess. But the flippers still work, of course. You just can't see them.
Right. Now, that would be like a nihilistic pinball game.
Like, the game is over. You yeah. got 100,000 points. Leave.
Here's a quick question, too. So if you guys got the, what was it? You get the straight flush when that middle guard is in there in between the flippers. And then if you have the guards on the sides, is there any way to drop the ball? Because that's kind of what happened to me, and then I felt like
if
I really couldn't
guard,
lose.
If it hits the guards on the side, yeah, if it hits the guards on the side, they go away.
But if the guard in the middle never went away.
It never went away for me either. I imagine it has to go away at some point.
Because I felt like that actually made it, it was kind of like the opposite. Like the longer I was, you would think it would get a lot harder, and it actually got much easier after
it gets
I
rewarding.
Got to that point. Yeah. And then it was like, I felt like it was really hard to drop the ball because I had the guards on the sides. I guess eventually they do disappear when you hit them, but the guard in the middle
it's
just
like
never
Joe,
disappeared.
It's like Joe, you couldn't even lose if you tried.
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Did anybody notice that you can do like two different kinds of things with your flippers? So you can do like a full hit or a half tip.
No,
I believe it like depended on how it long depended. You held it down.
Yeah, exactly. If
really?
You do a full press, if you do a full press, it goes all the way up. But if you manage to just kind of do a quick tap,
yeah,
it'll just flow just a little bit. Like cool.
That's really Bloop. Interesting. They put that in there.
Yeah, I thought that again. Iwata programming so much into these games, like very impressive stuff.
I'm just going to go right ahead and say that this is better than Space Cadet. I don't know.
You think this is better than Space Cadet?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, people at home. Everybody knows that, like, that's like, that was everything. Windows XP was like
the preloaded game on Windows XP.
All we had before that was Solitaire. And now all of a sudden you have
Minesweeper, right?
Minesweeper, come on. I mean, to be fair, I actually got really good at Minesweeper and started entering, like,
I was gonna joke
speed
that.
Tournaments. But
guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sean. So I'll finish this up real quick. Obviously, you know, it's a Nintendo developed game here. It's going to have an arcade port as well. That's on the Verse system arcade cabinet here. So Verse pinball was a thing.
Wait, why would you play an arcade version of a video game pinball if you're at an arcade with a pinball machine?
If this was the first time I was hearing about this, I would have been like, sure, like that is weird. I would have raised that same flag as you. But you're right. I just got so used to like, of course, it's an arcade game that Nintendo released on their Verse system thing. But you're right, this is kind of weird. You got Black Hole right next to you.
The whole point is that you don't have to go to the arcade.
Did Nintendo make like a digital skee ball game?
Yeah.
Nintendo made a lot of stuff in the 70s. In fact, I think there's a blog that I'm just going to throw out there called Before Mario. And it's just like, it's a great resource for everything that Nintendo released on the toy department before they ever got into video games. Very, very interesting.
All right, but no digital skee ball.
Yeah, but no digital skee ball.
Not
and
yet.
For the record, now that would be a game.
Switch.
There's got to be an NES skee ball game.
Well, I mean, we'll get there, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. All right?
We got 716 to go. All right. But real fast, the Verse system thing, it's the same game, but really cool. The score on the side looked kind of like a dot matrix score instead of the like NES font kind of okay. thing. So the score actually looked a little cool, and I thought that was nice. I was like, oh, it looks like the kind you would see on an actual pinball machine, which actually is kind of weird given how much style is put into the NES version of pinball, like to all like fit the same theme. And then they're just like, oh, but what if the score looked good? So they did that. But that's all I have to say. Anybody have any stray thoughts on pinball?
I feel like this has been like a collection of stray thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just overall, it was very pleasant.
Very pleasant.
That's what I got.
Joe, you sounded like you had something.
Yeah. I mean, as fun as it was, I guess I was a little disappointed that there wasn't like another cabinet or like another level after this. It was just, it kind of was quick to get used to. So I kind of felt like I wish they, programmed like another round in there, another cabinet to play.
Yeah, I definitely looked ahead to see how many other pinball games we were getting on the NES, and it's going to be a while, but Pinbot looks to be something that might fulfill our itch, Joe.
Cool. And I'm not a pinball guy either, so this was just interesting to play.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the essential games list. And before we move on and talk about what the Essential Games List is, I just got to throw a quick shout out to Sam Smith. You know, our boy Sam over here, Sam the Manual, he made the intro song and the Essential Games song that you just heard. So Sam, major props for making both of those for us.
Hey, thank you.
Sam makes all kinds of weird chiptune stuff. That's on a Game Boy, right? Some of those are made on a Game Boy?
It's Game Boy software.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so let's talk about the Essential Games List. You know, you got your PS4, you got your Xbox One, and all of a sudden there's a Steam sale for Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. And you're like, oh my gosh, Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on Steam. Not on Sega Dreamcast, not on Nintendo GameCube, on Steam. And you're like, nah, I don't really want to play that. What else is out there? And you're looking and you see Pinball on the NES. And you're like, whoa. I thought pinball was only allowed to be played at the arcades. I didn't know you could play it at home.
Or on Windows XP.
Yeah, right. Should I be playing this right now? Well, that's what the Essential Games List is going to tell you. We're going to take a vote, and by essential, we don't mean like, oh, is this like a holy grail for the NES back in the day? We're talking about like, no, does this still hold up? Is this like Duck Hunt? Because Duck Hunt right now is our reference point of what is an essential NES game. Excitebike, well, Joe might have another story there for you. But it's on the list, too. I'll tell you what's not on the list. Kung Fu Asterisk. All right? Last week's episode, which you should listen to if you didn't listen to it. That's just a plug for the show, nostalgiacast.com. You can Twitch, Twitter, everything. Hashtag all right, let's get into the Essential Games List. Sean.
I didn't want to start this one, but I don't know. I really liked pinball. I liked the technology behind it. I wasn't expecting it to be as good feeling as I thought it was going to be. That said, it's not what you'd associate with the NES, and I think it's great for like if you got 5 to 10 minutes to kill, or you don't have you don't have any other digital recreation of pinball available to you somehow. So I love it, but it's not essential.
All right, Sam.
I can agree with that. I think that it's fun. Like if you want, like if you can get your hands on it and you think this would be something that you would like to play, then you'll probably enjoy it. You know, it feels great to play. It's fun to play, but I think that there have been many other pinball video games since then that are just like just more fun to play.
You know?
I think I'd rather play. Like the one of the Pokemon pinball games over this one.
Or you could play a digital recreation of Black Hole.
Yeah, on Pinball Arcade.
Yeah,
or even Space Cadet Pinball. I think I would put that over this one.
All right.
As much as it pains me to say.
Joe?
So I mean, like I said, I'm not a pinball guy. I think if you are a big pinball fan, you might want to put this on your own personal essential list, but even then, because it only has, you know, one cabinet, and I wouldn't say this game's overall in general essential. I think it's interesting to play, and it's fun that it works so well and feels so much like pinball, but in the end, it's just one pinball cabinet. So I would say no.
Right. And I think that's kind of where I'm going to chime in too. I think Iwata programmed like the heck out of this game. Like it's impressive everything that's in there for a launch NES title. But you know, that's not the criteria for this. And I think that the limitations of the hardware and of the earliness of its development are what's holding it back from being essential here. It's definitely a game I would recommend playing. Like to Sean's point, what's the harm in 5 to 10 minutes of checking it out? I guarantee you will be harmed by the first 5 to 10 minutes of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. Okay. Especially if you're playing it on Steam. Okay. Like people do not realize that some of those games, like NES games and Super Nintendo games that matter too, they're special. They don't like devolve in the same way that these early N64 PS1 games and Dreamcast games, the way that those have like kind of soured over time. Like, pinball is still pinball at the end of the day, and that's something. I think that's cool, and that's why I'm going to say play it, but by no means should you feel obligated to.
Yeah. I just want to, I'm just glad that we stepped away from talking about the early 3D, actually any 3D Sonic, because that was giving me like Vietnam flashbacks.
Absolutely. So that's all the time we have for this episode of Nostalgia. Join us next time for soccer. And be sure to go outside and play it yourself if you have the time. For more Nostalgia, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, and be sure to check us out on nostalgiacast.com. That's nostalgiacast.com. There you'll find links to the show and show notes, as well as our other platforms such as Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you so much for your support of Nostalgia. We thank you for spending time with us and not Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.